In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was young, one of the things or games we had in Sunday school and junior church was that of what we called sword drill. And so a Bible verse would be called out, and we had to look and we had to find that Bible verse. So for instance, if John 3:16 was called, we'd go through our Bibles, find the Bible verse, put up our hand, and then we'd read out the verse, the first person who puts up their hand. In fact, there were some tricks with this. Because if we have, say, the Psalm 23, well, if you open up your Bible roughly in the middle, then you come to the book of Psalms, and it was very easy from there on to find Psalm 23. But there were other books which were far more difficult. And one of them was the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, in fact, in my Bible, has less than three sides on it. And it only has three chapters. And also it's with other smaller books. And so it's far harder to find. Are you familiar with the book of Habakkuk? Well, if you're not, hopefully you will be in a moment. Habakkuk, in fact, reminds me of some of you, because when we open up Habakkuk, we find that it begins with Habakkuk praying for the people of God, praying for the church of his day. And that really is our first point, that Habakkuk prays for God's people. And that's a reminder for us that we too should pray for the people of God. And of course, especially for St. Ursula's at this time, where there is no appointed chaplain, we can pray for the services, for the preaching of the word. We can pray for the church wardens, who have a lot of responsibility at this time, the council, those preparing youth work and junior church material, and the many other ministries that there are, music, and all those that are going on in the church. So as we see Habakkuk prayed for God's people, let us, especially over these summer months, commit ourselves to praying for St. Ursula's and the people of God in general. But when we look at Habakkuk, we also find, and this is our second point, that the answer to his prayer was unexpected. He didn't expect God to answer in the way that he did. God says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." Habakkuk must have wondered, well, what's God going to do? If he's going to do something that he's never done before, if we're going to be really amazed, what's he going to do? Well, we've had Moses. Maybe someone greater than Moses will come and bring God's people to repentance and revival. Or we've had Elijah, who sends fire down from heaven, calls fire down from heaven. Well, maybe something greater would be for some prophet to call fire, maybe an earthquake as well. He must have been very disappointed. His face must have dropped when he heard God's next words. God says, "I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own." And the Babylonians, of course, were a notorious people. They worshipped many gods, they were very cruel, and they came and invaded different countries and different cities, destroying people and buildings, and also taking many back to Babylon. And as you know, in 587 BC, that is just what happened. The Babylonians came, they took Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, killed many people, and took many also back to Babylon. Habakkuk must have been very disappointed at the way that God has answered his prayer. He must have been very upset. This is not what Habakkuk wanted or wished or desired. And it reminds us that God doesn't always answer our prayers as we think and like and desire that he would answer our prayers. I'm sure you can think of many examples, maybe even in your own life. One example comes to mind. We all love it when a couple is expecting a baby and we pray. I know I myself praying naturally for the expectant mother and for the baby, and wish and pray that the baby is born healthy, and I'm sure many of you do as well. But it doesn't always happen like that. The believers are praying, the couple are praying, and the baby is born handicapped with all the disappointment and difficulties that follow. And then, of course, we've met people, and I've met many, quite a number, in fact, of older people over 50s looking for work, and they're praying sincerely, struggling, and sincerely coming to the Lord. But God does not seem to answer their prayer as they wish or desire or want. Now, I know that some of you have been Christians many years. You've been to church for many years and heard the Bible. Just for a moment, ponder to yourself and ask yourself, what type of words of comfort or advice would you give Habakkuk, or to that young couple whose baby has not been born healthy as they hoped, or to the person who God does not seem to answer their prayer in the way that they hope in terms of looking for work, or any other example that you can think of? What advice would you offer from the Bible? Well, let's see now, and this comes to our third point, what Habakkuk actually did. Habakkuk made it clear to God that he did not understand this matter. He couldn't get his head around it. He says in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Then why do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" He shares his concerns and speaks his concerns to God. And that reminds us that we can do that when we're struggling with the answer that God has given us. We can share our upset, our disappointment, our frustration, and even at times how angry we feel about this matter. But let us also notice that Habakkuk didn't just present this problem that he had. But then he waited on the Lord, and this brings us to our reading. In fact, the picture here is that of a tall building in which the soldier would look over and watch out for the enemy. And so in our passage, we find Habakkuk saying, "I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint, to this complaint." He doesn't keep on complaining to God about the problem. He speaks to God. He makes the matter known that he's not happy, he doesn't understand, and then he leaves it. He waits upon the Lord for the answer. And that reminds us that when we are upset with the answers that God has given us, when we do have some great disappointment or even concern, yes, we can present it to the Lord. But if we keep on coming and with the same thing again and again, that isn't really trust in the Lord, is it? It's not really leaving the matter with God. No, we're to be like Habakkuk, who waits upon the Lord. But let us come to our fourth point, which is, what is the Lord's answer? And when we read the answer, we understand that not only are the wicked to be punished, but when we come to verse 4, and this was in our reading, we find that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith, by his faith. And of course, we understand her faith. The just shall live by his faith. And it's interesting to think about that. Because we don't live by sight. We, as believers, we're not going on. We're not saying to God, look, I'm just going to follow. I'm just going to believe. As long as you do exactly as I ask you and as I pray for and as I desire and as I want. No, we're not dependent upon God's. Our faith isn't dependent upon God's answers like that. No, we trust him, even when the answers are not as we expect or want or desire. And Habakkuk understood this. Habakkuk took this answer of the Lord to heart, because in the third chapter, where we find Habakkuk's prayer, he says these words: though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes upon the vine, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheep stall or sheep pen, and though there are no cattle in the cattle stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Saviour. He says, even when there's no food, even when there's nothing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I'll be joyful in God my Saviour. Think for a moment of Psalm 46. We often say, and remember that psalm, it's one of my favourite psalms: God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble, therefore I shall not fear. But what is the rest of it? Though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the midst of the sea. The whole picture there is of the world collapsing around the writer, the psalmist, who says, God is my refuge and strength. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Our faith is not dependent upon the answers that God gives. If he doesn't give the right answer, the answer that I want. No, that's not how we have faith. It's not by sight. The just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. Let us remind ourselves what we've said. We said that Habakkuk was concerned for the people of God. He prayed for them. But then, secondly, that the answer that God gave was not as Habakkuk expected. The Babylonians would come, as happened in 587 BC, destroying Jerusalem, the temple, and many people as well. Habakkuk's reaction was our third point, and we see that he waited upon the Lord. He first of all made known his concern, and then he waited upon God. And then finally, fourthly, we saw that the Lord not only punishes the wicked, but says, the just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. Some of you may have had disappointments. Some of you may have found that you prayed and God has not answered as you hoped or expected or wanted. But what is more important? That we are like Habakkuk. We believe the words of God. The just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.